My sheet's perfect, thank you. All right, we'll say good morning. So today's daf is Chav Ches. We're going to start on Chav Zayin Amud Beis. We're going to pick up with the Chachamim Mochrin Oso Mimkar Olam. Remember again, it's actually the last short line on Chav Zayin Amud Beis. So the Chachamim say that you can go ahead and you're permitted to sell a shul without the condition that was mentioned in the Mishnah, but rather you're permitted to go ahead and sell it to Mimkar Olam, sell forever. So says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda said in Mishmuel that a person is permitted to urinate within Dalit Amos of where they davened. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef, Mike and say, now what we're seeing over here is this is not talking about within a shul. This is talking, I feel like, I guess I don't have to clarify certain things. So the idea over here is this: you daven somewhere outside, so you're permitted to urinate within Dalit Amos of that area. I'm Rabbi Yosef, my Kamash Malon. What's the chiddush of that? Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mochrin Oso L'Shum Chatzar V'Lokeach Mash Yirtze Ya'asa. So interesting enough, Rabbi Yosef, the Gemara says, well, Rabbi Yehuda says that you're permitted to go ahead and sell a shul, and the truth is, use that structure for whatever you want. And even the Rabbanon who say that, no, you are limited in terms of what you can do with an area that was used as a shul. That's only what? A shul itself, a shul structure that has a kvios, that has an established kedusha, aval dalit amos de lo kvi kedusha sahi lo. But again, but Rabbi say a person daven somewhere. So again, generally, place where you daven, so also has some level of kedusha, but dalit amos away from that place does not. So meaning, what the Gemara is essentially asking is, what is the chiddush of saying that you're permitted to urinate within dalit amos of a place where you daven? To which the Gemara says, Tani tana kamed Rav Nachman, hamispal al marchik dalit amos umashtin. So we'll say there was another statement. So it was a statement, someone taught the following statement for the Rav Nachman. If someone davens, they distance themselves dalar amos from where they daven, and they urinate. And if someone urinates, he should distance himself dalar amos and daven. So the Gemara says, so I understand when the halacha says that if a person urinates, they should distance themselves 4 amos from the area where they urinated and then daven. Because that's an already accepted halacha. Tanino, because again, the halacha is that anytime you have human waste in the area, you should distance yourself at least dalar amos. You also now, the interesting part is that's even assuming there's no odor. If there's an odor, there's an addition, there's a compounded issue that you can't have where there's an odor. But let's say there's no odor. So the mice, you still have to distance yourself dalar amos in a place for this human waste. So the Gemara says, on the other hand, Bishlam finds the Gemara, Ela hamispalel marchik dalar amos umashtin lamoi. People say, why is it that against? But the other halacha is that if I daven, I have to distance myself. Well, so you have to distance myself dalar amos before I relieve myself. Why is that lamali? Because if that's the case, Mabel said, what that sounds like is that anywhere where you daven, by definition, almost has the kedushas beisak nezes, and therefore you have to go ahead and distance yourself dalar amos before taking care of one's needs. If that's the case, ihochi kadish tinhu lekulush vili dinarda, you have effectively sanctified all of the pathways, the streets of Narda. Listen, so Rashi points out over here that in Narda, they would often go ahead, and let's say for communal fast days, they would gather in the streets. I mean, we saw in Sechas Tainis that there are certain days where you have to gather in the street. The point that Gemara is making over here is if you're telling me that a place where you daven, by definition, takes on Kedushas Pesach Neses, then Lemaisa, you have just sanctified all of the streets, all of the pathways, all the alleyways, the streets of Narda. The Gemara says, no, listen to this. Tani, Yeshahem. It actually, you have to read it not as yarchik, distance oneself, rather yishoha, wait. So what does that mean? Bishlam amashtin yishekadeh hiluch dalar amos. So the Gemara says, therefore, if you go ahead and you urinate, a person should wait the amount of time before that it takes to walk dalar amos before beginning to daven. Why is that? Mishum nitzotzos. Nitzotzos literally means droplets of urine. The idea of the halacha's teaching is that if a person urinates and about to daven, a person should make sure that the urinating is complete, that even the droplets are finished. Ela mispalel, yishek dehiluch dalar amos lamali. But why is it halacha lies if a person's davening, that they have to wait dalar amos, the amount of time that it takes to walk dalar amos before urinating? Listen to this. Amravashi, Shekal Dalit Amis Tfiloso Sedura Befiv, Vrachushi Mirachshan Sfusei. This is actually very interesting, because generally, sometimes the way it works with davening is how, even when a person finishes davening, so, you know, so this happens to us, like sometimes if you have to leave, so you're taking off, you're totally taking off your tassel, what are you still doing? You're still davening. So it's common for a person's lips literally to still be moving with davening, even when what? Davening is officially over. Therefore, the halacha says that if a person has to relieve themselves, so wait the amount of time that it takes to walk down. How long does it take to walk Dalai Lama? Dalai Lama is 6 feet. So a couple of seconds. Wait a couple of seconds just to make sure that what? That your lips are finished moving with tefillah. Interesting. Margot Zweiter. Shalu Talmid of Es Rabbi Zakkai. Both say these are amazing gemaras. So the students of Rabbi Zakkai asked him the following question. Bama ha'arachta yamim. To what do you attribute your longevity? So I'll say, generally, these kinds of questions were asked at the end of one's life. So they asked the Rebbe. Like, how do you think you lived so long? Like, what? I'll say, I understand, what is that? Now, does anybody really know the answer to that question? And of course, the answer to that is no. So what are they really asking their Rebbe? What's really asking their Rebbe is like, what do you think was this, not the singular, but what do you think were the sources of your merit to live a long life? Right, I'm sorry, right? What are the pearls of wisdom? What are the things that you think were the most important things in your life? So amazing. Amrulam says, look, miyamai, lo ashtanti mayim b'soch dalet amas shel tefillah. I never urinated within dalet amas shel tefillah. So we'll say, I was so excited when I saw this. I like, it's actually attainable. It's actually, I think we could do, I think we can makabal this one. Right? So I never urinated within dalet amas shel tefillah. Velo kinisi shem l'chaveri. I never called my friend by a nickname. And Rashi points out over here, I will say that's even true of a non-disparaging nickname. Obviously, a disparaging nickname is not good, but the idea is I never took liberties with my friend's covet, even if he didn't mind it. And I never missed reciting Kiddush over wine. I never missed reciting it. I was makpid to always recite Kiddush over wine. So when I says, Ima Zekina Haisali. So my mother was once an old lady. Pam achos machra kipa shebarosha v'yaviyah li kiddush hayom. So apparently one time Rabbi Zakkai did not have wine. She sold her scarf. She sold her headscarf and went ahead and bought wine for me to have for kiddush. The Gemara says, Tana, Kishemesa, when she died, Hinicha lo gimel meos gar b'yayin. So she left Rabbi Zakkai 300 barrels of wine. O Kishemes, who, when he died, Hiniach levanav shloshes alofim gar b'yayin. He left his own children a wine cellar, 3,000 barrels of wine. Ravuna, Hava Asra, so we'll say now the Gemara is going to go on a little bit of a tangent. Now that we started talking about Kiddush, the Gemara tells another story about Kiddush. Rav Huna, Hava Asarisa. Rav Huna was wearing like a belt made of reeds. And I will say, you wouldn't normally wear a belt made of reeds. You normally wear a belt made of leather. So something happened to his belt. He's wearing a belt of reeds. So Vikai Kamei Derav. He came before Rav. Amrle Mai Hai. We'll say this amazing Gemara. So I said, what's up? Meaning, Mai Hai means, what's this? Like, what's up with that belt? Right? I'm sorry. Summer belt, right? So he said, "What's the? You know, it's after Labor Day. You know, what's the pshat, right? Why are you wearing that belt?" So Amarle lo havile kiddusha umashkante lehemenoi va'asi bekiddusha. I didn't have wine for kiddush. I sold my belt and I went ahead and I bought wine for kiddush. And Kedabar Mesiras Nefesh. Amarle, so we'll say Rav responded, "Yehi Rava the titum b'shiroi. It should be the will of God that you should be covered with silk." They're both like covered with silk with an expression of what? You should have a lot of money. You should be blessed with wealth. Ki ichlal rabba bere. Well, say so amazingly enough. So when rabba, Rav gave this bracha to Rav Huna. So when rabba, the son of Rav Huna, got married, Rav Huna inish gutzahava. So Rav Huna was a short person. Abbas the Marsha points out that we have no idea why the Gemara includes that piece of information. It seems to be extraneous to the story, but okay, he was a short person. Gona apuria. He was laying down on the bed. He fell asleep on the bed. Asyan banse vikalse shalchan vishajan manayu ale adi itum bishiroi. So Rav Huna fell asleep on the bed, and what happened? His daughters and his daughters-in-law passed by him. He was uncovered. They covered him with some of their silk garments. As we'll say, so what happened? He was covered in silk. So the bracha of Rav, that Rav gave Rav Huna, that you should be covered in silk, actually came true. So we'll say, listen to this. This is such an important yesod. Shama Rav. Rav heard about what happened. meaning he heard that Rav Huna was covered in silk, v'ikpid, and he got upset. Why did he get upset? Amar, my time alo amrit li ki birachticha kim ki birachtich v'chein lemar. When I gave him the bracha, what Rav Huna should have said was what? V'chein lemar. And the bracha should be reciprocal. Because what Rav was lamenting over here is clearly the bracha came true. If only had Rav Huna reciprocated the bracha and said v'chein lemar, I would have been blessed as a Bosai. And it's a very important yisod. So the svarim right. This is very important yisod that whenever someone gives you a bracha, it is very important to always say v'chein lemar, that you should wish them the same bracha in return. That way, again, your bracha destinies are intertwined. Shalu tamid v'es Rabbi Yoshua is Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua. So we'll say students of Elazar ben Shamua asked them as well. But maha ma'arachtim Rabbi, to what merit did you have longevity? Amr Lahem, listen to this. I never took a shortcut through the shul, meaning I never made the shul a shortcut. I never stepped on the heads of the holy nation. Rabbi Rashi points out over here, what that means is, Rabbi Ben Shmuel says that I never entered the Beis Medrash when the Talmidim were already seated. Because remember, the way it often worked is the Talmidim were seated on the floor. So if I walked in when the Talmidim were already seated, it would look like what? It would look like I was walking on their heads. And I never duchened, he was a Kohen, without a bracha. So we'll say, again, you could see even in these three things are very profound things. I never made a shortcut in the shul, which means what Rabbi saying. I never made any shortcuts with my spirituality. I did what I had to do without any shortcuts. I never trampled on people to advance myself. I realized I never had to put someone else down and trample upon another to advance myself. Means what Rabbi saying. What's the chiddush? Every Kohen makes a bracha before he duchens. But what he's saying is, I was meticulous with my shmiras hamitzvahs. I did what was asked of me, and I did it how it was asked of me. Shalu tamidim of Rabbi Preda. So tamidim of Rabbi Preda asked me, Maharachtim Rabbi, how did you merit longevity? Amar lahem, miyamai lo kidmani adon lebeis hamedrash. So I am in clear violation of this one, right? So Rabbi Preda said, no one ever got to the Beis Medrash before me. Tap of chavches. V'lo birachti lifnei kohen. I never led benching whenever there was a coin present. I always deferred to the coin. And I never ate from an animal whose Kohanic parts have not been separated. Also remember again, this is not talking about a carbon. In times of the Beis HaMikdash, Stam, when I shecht an animal, I have to give portions to the coin, the chazeh v'shok, literally the breast and the foreleg, the chest and the foreleg. So he's saying, I never ate of my own animal without first giving the Kohanic gifts. It is prohibited to eat from an animal whose Kohanic portions have not been separated. Rabbi Yitzchak says that if you eat from an animal whose Kohanic portions have not been separated, that's tantamount to eating devil. And either veles hochasakavase. But we don't pass in this way. But yet, Rabbi Pareda was machbid on this. Next. I never led benching when there was a coin present. You see, is that to say that that's a good thing? But yet we learned that if a Talmud Chacham allows a Kohen Gadol Am Ha'aretz to bench instead of him, to lead the benching instead of the Talmud Chacham, such a Talmud Chacham is Chayiv Misa. We're obviously using a little bit of hyperbole, we're trying to make a point here. What, why? Shene Emar, Kol Misanai Avu Maves. The Rosh said, literally the Pasuk says, in Mishlei, all those who hate me love death. So the Gemara says, Al Tikri Misanai Ella Masni'i. Rather, don't read a Misanai, those who hate me, but rather what? Masni'i, those who cause me to be hated. I will say, what does that mean? That's very interesting, Yisod. A Talmud Chacham has to be careful with his covet. With his covet. Why? Because his covet is not his. His covet is the covet HaTorah. So the issue is like this. If there's a Talmud Chacham there, and instead he defers to an Am Ha'aretz to lead the benching, that cheapens and lessens the kavod of the Talmud Chacham. To which these the Gemara to say that makes HaKadosh Baruch Hu hated, right? Those who cause me, God says, to be disparaged or to be hated, deserve death. So if the Kohen God, if the Talmud Chacham allows the Am HaOretz, even if he's a Kohen, to go ahead and lead benching, that's not a good thing. To which the Gemara says, Kika Amar, when did Rabbi pray to Allah for this? Bishavin. When there was a coin, it was also Talmud Chacham. If there was a coin, it was a Talmud Chacham. Rabbi Pareda would defer to the coin Talmud Chacham to lead the benching. But halacha lemaisa, if there was just a coin Am HaOretz, Rabbi Pareda Talmud Chacham would not defer to that coin, and in fact would be usur for him to defer to that coin. Shalut Talmud Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana. So the students asked Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, "B'maha arachti yamim Rabbi, how did you merit such longevity?" Amar lahem, he said to them, Miyomai, well, she thank you. I don't know if I said thank you too. Thank you. Miyomai lo niskabarati b'kalon chavera. Well, say such a profound yisod. I never got covered through the degradation of another. That's a very important yisod in life. Too many people gain covered in life by putting down another. I never gained covered by putting by through someone else's expense. V'lo alsa almitasi kilas chaveri. The curse of my friend that never came upon my bed. We'll discuss what that means in just a moment. And vatram b'mamoni hayisi. I was very free spending with my money. I was very generous with my money. Lonis kabarati b'kalon chaveri. What does it mean? I never gained honor through the degradation of my friend. Ki hadur afuna, listen to this. Ki hadur afuna, dori mara akasve. The example is Rav Huna was once carrying a shovel on his shoulder. As Rav Chana bar Chaniloi, the kadari mine, and Rav Chana bar Chaniloi wanted to take it from Rav Huna. He didn't want Rav Huna to carry it. He was going to carry it for Rav Huna. Amar lei. So Rav Huna said to Rav Chana bar Chaniloi, he asked him, Ira gilas tedarach b'maseich. Dari, if you would normally carry a shovel where you live in your city, then I'll let you take it. V'ilo, but if you don't normally carry a shovel and you just want to do this out of cover to me, then what? Lo is yakuri ana bezelusa didach lo nichali. The idea of me gaining honor at your expense, at your degradation, is not something that I'm interested in. That's a very profound yisod. What does it mean that the curse of my friend never came upon my bed? Like when Marzutra went to go, we used to go to bed. Amar, he would say, "Shari lei lecholman ditzaran." I will say, what would he say? He would say, "I forgive anyone who has hurt me today." We'll say we do this every single day in Kriya Shema Alamita and Mochal. L'chol mi shehichnis v'hichnis otzi. Oh, see? So we'll say again, so this comes from Marzutra, that before Marzutra, they say it's a school for a much sounder sleep. Right? So a person goes ahead and literally, I forgive everyone who has hurt me over the course of the day. Vatra b'mamoni hayisi. I was literally very generous with my money. Damar mar. Iov vachram b'mamone hava. Iov was very generous with his money. Shahaya maniach pruta lechen v'ni mimamone. He would always leave an additional pruta, an additional coin for the chen v'ni, for the shopkeeper, from his own money. Meaning he would pay for whatever he paid for. This is not ribbis. He would just go ahead and give an additional gift to the shopkeeper. Sha'al Rabbi Akiva es Rabbi Nechunya Hagodol. Rabbi Akiva es Rabbi Nechunya Hagodol. Amar lo, b'ma ha'arachta yamim. So now you have Rabbi Akiva asking Rabbi Nechunya Gadol, tell me, how did you merit such longevity? Let's listen to this. So also gavze kamachule. The servants of Rabbi Nechunya started hitting Rabbi Akiva. They thought that Rabbi Akiva was being disrespectful to Rabbi Nechunya. Like, how'd you get so old? You know, something like that. Or that they were begrudging the fact that he lived so long. So they started beating up Rabbi Akiva. Right. Hitting, right. So... not good for the longevity. Correct. So what I will say is amazing. So Salik Yosef Areish the Dikla, Rabbi Akiva literally climbed the palm tree, and he was sitting in the branches of the palm tree. So what happened? Amrali Rabbi. So apparently Rabbi Nechunya heard what was happening over here. Rabbi Nechunya heard what was happening. So he comes out. He sees Rabbi Akiva in the palm tree. Right. So what happens now? Apparently this clearly from the context of the story. This was before Rabbi Akiva was known as a sage. This was earlier on in his life. Amrali, Rabbi Akiva calls out from the palm tree. Rabbi, in ne'emar keves, lama ne'emar echad. So what Rabbi Akiva is trying to do is he's trying to establish his credentials as a Talmud Chacham and trying to show that he's not someone who showed up trying to be difficult. See, he asks a question. Rabbi, also, this is by the Karban Tamid. If it says keves, which is singular, right, then why does it have to say echad? Why does it have to say one? Amr Lahu, Rabbi Nechanya kind of calls off the attack. He says to his servants, Amr Lahu, Surmi Rabbananhu. This guy is a Talmud Chacham, Shafku, leave him alone. So first thing he does is he answers the question. Amr Lahu, Echad, Miyuchad Shebe Edra, says Rabbi Akiva. The reason it says Echad, even though it says Keves singular, is to teach you that what? You have to use the best sheep in the flock. Okay, so now he answers Rabbi Akiva's question. So remember, Rabbi Nechunya is answering, how did I marry such longevity? Miyamai lo kibalti matanos. We'll say, I never accepted gifts. Lo amarati amidosai. I was never exact. We'll say, amarati amidosai means, I was never an exacting individual. Right? I always let things slide. Vatram marahayisi. And I was also very free with my money. Lo kibalti matanos. I never accepted gifts. What does that mean? Kihad Rebbe Lazar, kihava mishantri le matanos mi benesia, lo hava shakil. I will say, like, for example, Rebbe Lazar, when they sent him gifts from the house of the Nasi, he would not accept them. Kihava mizamni le, furthermore, when they would invite him for a meal, so lo hava azil, he would not come. Amar lehu lo necha le lehu, he would say, do you not want me to live? Dechsiv, somni matanos yechye. He who despises gifts will live a longer life. I will say this idea that Lamaisa, the gifts create some level of dependency, and therefore one who wants to live a fully independent life doesn't accept gifts. On the other hand, Rabbi Zera, Kevin Mishajim Benesia, Rabbi Zera, when they would send them a gift from the house of the Nasi, Lohava Shakil, he would not accept it. However, Kevin Mizamile, when they would invite him to a meal, then Ozil, he would go. Why? Because he Amar Isyakure Dimisyakri B. Because truth is, when they invite me to a meal, said Rabbi Zera, they're not doing something nice for me. I am honoring them with my presence. Right? I'm doing them the covet. I'm doing them the tova. They're not doing anything for me. Okay, so what happened? I never I never stood my ground on things, meaning that I was easygoing. Maybe that's the good English word. I was an easygoing individual. The Amar Rav, Rabbi says, a very important Gemara. Kol ma'avir amidosav ma'avir menu kol pshar. Rabbi says, essentially, the Ribono Shel Olam acts with us almost like in a quid pro quo, in a tit for tat, meaning that if I am easygoing, I am forgiving, HaKadosh Baruch Hu exhibits that same behavior with me. See, anyone who is forgiving and easygoing with their fellow, so ma'avir mena kol pshar, will say, is a good deal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wipes away all of my sin. Shene emar, no se avon va'over al pesha. Literally, it means God lifts up or takes away sin, and he skips over iniquity. Lemi no se avon. For whom does God remove sin? Lemi sho over apesha. To he who is willing to forgive the iniquity of his fellow. I'll say very profound. Sha'al Rebbe is Rebbe Yoshua ben Karacham. Rebbe asked Rebbe Yoshua ben Karacham, but maharach diyamim Rebbe, how did you, I mean Rebbe Yoshua ben Karacham, how did you merit longevity? So Rabbi Yoshua ben Karacha was a little taken aback by the question. What, is there something wrong? Are you upset that I'm alive so long? Hey, this is like Jewish mother, right? Is there a problem? So listen to this. Amar Rabbi said, this is such a profound statement. Rebbe, Torahi velilmod ani tzarech. I will say, Rebbe, it's Torah. I need to know from your perspective, what do you think are the most important things in life that gave you the merit for this longevity? Amarlei, miyamai lo niskalti b'dimus adam rasha. I never looked upon the visage of an evil person. I never looked in the face of a rasha. Dam Rabbi Yochanan, asra le adam liestakel b'tselem d'mus adam rasha. A person is not permitted to look literally at the image of a rasha. Shenemar, lulei pinei Yehoshafat melech ani melech Yuda ani nose im abit elecha v'im ereka. We'll say this is in Malachim where Elisha speaking to the two kings, the king of Yehud and the king of Israel. Mm-hmm. And Elisha says to the king of Israel, were it not that the Yehoshaphat was here, I wouldn't even look in your direction. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Lozer says, enough chaos. That literally one who goes ahead and looks at the face of a Rasha, his eyesight dims, shene emar, vahi ki zakin Yitzchak, it was when Yitzchak got older, vatechaena eiran miros, that literally Yitzchak's vision dimmed. Why did Yitzchak's vision dim? Mishum de istakel be'esav harasha, because he had to look at the face of his son Esav, who was wicked. The Gemara of Hagar, is that why Yitzchak's vision dimmed? Va'amar Rabbi Yitzchak, the olam alti kilas hayo kalabeinecha. But Rabbi Yitzchak said, the curse of even a simple person should not be taken lightly in your eyes. Why? Shahari Avimelech kilel es Sarah, because Avimelech cursed Sarah, v'niskayim bizarah, and that curse was upheld in Sari Imenu's offspring, Shene Emar. Hine hu lecha kisus inayim. We'll say this is after the episode where essentially Avram misled Avimelech. We had this Gemara a few days ago. Misled Avimelech, told him that he was his sister. Not Avimelech was his sister. Misled Avimelech that Sarah was Avraham's sister. Avimelech took her. And you can tell Avimelech is like a little bit resentful for being misled. So he tells Sarah, here is for you a covering for your eyes. Rather, a covering for your eyes should be covered. Not a veil, but a covering for your eyes. So what says, the Gemara understands over here that Avimelech was giving Sarah like a shtekel klala, like a little bit of a curse. Like, you misled me. You misled me, you blinded me. So again, now I give you, you know, your future descendants should be blinded as well. So the Gemara understands that was the source for Yitzchak Avinu's blindness, to which the Gemara answers, Havaha Garmale, it was both. It was the curse of Avimelech as well as the having to look upon the visage of Esav that ultimately caused the blindness of Yitzchak. Thank you. The Gemara goes weiter. So Rava says from here, Se'is p'nei Rasha lo tov. So Rava says the concept of not looking upon a Rasha comes over here from this pasuk. From this pasuk in Mishlei, Se'is p'nei Rasha lo tov. Looking upon the face of Rasha is not good. B'shas p'tiras, and I will say, remember, we interrupted this story. This was an exchange between Rabbi and Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karacha. So now Rabbi's taking leave of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karacha. So as Rabbi's leaving, Amarle Rabbi Barchani. So Rabbi says to Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karacha, Rabbi, bless me. Give me a bracha. Amarle, Yiratzon Shetagia Lechatzi Yama. Also, listen to this. So the bracha that Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karacha gives Rabbi is, Rabbi, you should live half as long as I did. So the Gemara says, Lechatzi Yamai. Boss, listen to this. So Rebbe was a little taken aback. He said, why don't you give me a bracha for the full measure of your longevity? Boss said, listen to how profound this is. Amar lo, haboim acharecha behema yiru. Those who come after you, what should they do? Should they be shepherds? Should they tend to the animals? We'll say, what Rebbe Yehoshua ben Karacha was saying something so profound. We'll say that sometimes as you get older, you have to learn to step aside and make room for others. That sometimes, you know, you have to, you did your part, right? You served your purpose, you did your thing. Make room for others. Sometimes people try to hold on to things for too long. When you have to step aside and you have to make room, for not lav dafka just for younger people, but for other people to do their thing. So it's amazing. So Rabbi Nechunya says to Rebbe, if I bless you with my longevity, then what's going to happen? You know, it's not always good to live. I mean, you can live, halalai, we should all live 120. But the idea is, it's not necessarily good to retain all of your positions of authority or all of your responsibilities, because then you never give others the ability to also help. So he's saying that everybody else should be a shepherd. You should live half as long as me. Again, lav dafka is saying you should have a short lifespan. But the idea is, I'm telling you, whatever you do in life, make sure you know when you've done your piece and now ultimately time to step aside and let others step in. So the Gemara goes weiter. They also say the Gemara goes back to this looking at Rishon piece. So the Gemara says, Avuha bar ihi, uminyamin bar ihi. So we'll say these are two people. So Avuha bar ihi, minyamin bar ihi, chad amar, one of them said, Tesili, I should have a bracha, del istakil bakusi. I was makbid to never look in the face of a kusi. The chad amar tesili, I should be blessed, del avdi shutfus bahadikusi. I never did business with the Kusav. Also, the Gemara discusses elsewhere about doing business with a Kusi, that the danger is that if the business goes well, that may lead them to thank their idolatry. So I never did business with the Kusi. Shalu Talmidei Rabbi Zeira. Again, Talmidei Rabbi Zeira. But Maharachti, I'm Rabbi, how did you merit longevity? Amar Lahem, Miyam, I'll say it's very important, Yisod. Miyamai Loik Parati Besoch Besi. I never got angry at home. We'll say it's interesting. He never says, I never got angry. He says, I never got angry at home. We'll say, you know, the klal gadol in life is very often we treat other people better than we treat our own families. Right? We go ahead and we take certain liberties with our families that we would never, right? Can you imagine, like, sometimes you walk into the house and you're just in a bad mood or whatever it is, you would never walk into work that way because you get fired. And I'm saying, you know, like, so it's amazing. So we take certain, or we talk to our spouses in a certain way, or to our kids in a certain way, that we would never talk to other people because I figure, look, you know what, I could be me, my wife's not, whatever, what is she going to do? Right? She'll get over it, right? She'll fire me, right? A lot, but she'll get over it. So what he's saying over here is something amazing. He's not saying I never got angry. What he's saying is I never got angry at home, meaning I recognized that the most important people in life are not the people I work with. They're not the people I even learn with. The most important people are the people I come home to. And so Lamei said, again, I was always careful to treat them well. I never got angry with in my home. I never walked in front of someone who was greater than me, meaning I always made sure to exhibit the right kavod to those who are greater than me. I never thought about Torah in dirty alleyways. I never walked Dalet Amos without Torah, or below Tefillin, without Tefillin. I never slept in the Beis Medrash. Now, I will say, this is a major feat. I never fell asleep in shul. I never fell asleep in shul. Not a nap, right? Not a head bob, you know, nothing. I never fell asleep in shul. I'm sorry. It's too late. Yeah, I never fell asleep in shul. Not a nap, not a real sleep. For those sasti bitakalas chaverai, I never rejoiced over the downfall of my friend. I will say, I think the parentheses in that is, I never rejoiced over the downfall of a friend, even if what? Even if somehow, you know, sometimes the downfall of another does benefit me. Sometimes it does benefit me. I never rejoiced even in those circumstances because I always realized my success in life will never come on the failure, back of the failure of another. I never called my friend by a nickname and I never called him by his last name. And I will say again, these are obviously also non-disparaging things. It goes without saying you can't call someone a disparaging name. But the point is, I never took liberties with another, even if what? Of the covenant of another, even if the other did not mind. We'll say, this Gemara, I just want to tell you, this is gold. This is gold. I would urge you strongly, like, go over this, bring your Gemara to the Shabbos table, and just go over these, because this is literally, you know, sometimes we always wonder, like, what's the secret to successful living? Here you have a whole page of opinions, and I will say, all really attainable useless. And amazingly enough, what's the one thing you didn't see? What's the one thing that nobody attributed their longevity to? Right? Healthy eating, right? Number one. As Ari said, that was Ari's line. That was that. But like, no one ever said, like, I learned like 10 hours of Torah a day. Now, does that mean that not learning that? Of course, learning Torah. But what the point I want to say is that sometimes the most important things in life are these interpersonal ideas, are these midos ideas, are these character traits. These, because we'll say, you understand also the Sfas Emes comments on this. He says, you know, longevity in Judaism is not always measured in length of years. Longevity in Judaism is quantified how? By quality of days. So if you look at these Gemaras, if you don't look at necessarily in longevity of day, of years, but like, how do you lead a happy life? We all want to be happy. So how to be happy? The truth is, if you're a good person, not to the exclusion of everything else, but a person builds strong character traits, lemaisa, again, that leads to such quality of each and every day. Margos Vaita, Mishnah. Va'od Rami Yehuda, Beis HaKnesset Shecharav. If you have a shul that was destroyed, it was like destroyed lav dafka means actively destroyed. It could also mean what? It could also mean just falls into non-use. So based on Shecharav, ein maspidin besocho, you may not deliver, you can't turn into a funeral, you can't deliver eulogies. in it. Ve'in mafshilin besocho chavalim. You can't twist ropes. I will say, Rashi points out twisting ropes over here means you can't do work in it. The reason he uses the example of twisting ropes is because, you know, ropes are made up of multiple other cords intertwined. You would normally need like a big open space. So an empty shul would be a perfect place to twist ropes. But the idea is you can't use an abandoned shul to go ahead and for a workplace. Vein partial socha metudos, you can't set animal traps in the shul for the purpose of capturing animals. Vein shotchin al gago peros, you can't spread fruit on the roof of the shul to dry. Vein osin oso kapendaria, you still can't make it a shortcut. I will say this is true even though, again, this shul has fallen into non-use, you still must go ahead and conduct yourself with kedusha for the shul. Shene'emar, because the pasuk says, Vashimosius mikdashechem, I will destroy your mikdashechem, your sanctified places. And we'll say, what do we see from here? Kedushasan af kishen shomemin. We'll say, interesting, so what do we see from here? Even when they're destroyed, they're still called what? They're still called mikdashechem. So from here we see that even a destroyed or non-used shul still has a status of what? As the Beis HaKnesses. Aluba savim, the one exception is, if grass begins to grow within the shul, lo yitlosh mipnei agmas nefesh. So we'll say, you can't uproot it. Why? In order to create feelings of pain. Because when people see grass begin to grow within the shul, they realize what? That it's been abandoned. And Lamai said that's a sense of pain. And we want people to feel pain for abandoned shuls, abandoned batei knesios. Says the Gemara, turn around, on. Based at batei knesios, in Yorgen Memekos Rosh. It will say in the shul, you can't act, there's no levity. No levity in the shul. Ain ochlin b'hen, you shouldn't eat in the shul. Ve'ein shosin b'hen, you shouldn't drink in the shul. Ve'ein na'osin b'hen, you shouldn't, you know, dress, get dressed, or adorn yourself in the shul. Ve'ein metailin b'hen, you shouldn't spazier in the shul. Ve'ein nechnosin b'hen, necham ne'acham, o b'gishom ne'agishom. I will say, and you shouldn't seek shelter in the shul. You shouldn't use the shul just for shelter, either when it's too hot outside or when it's raining outside. Ve'ein maspidin b'hen hesped shal yachid. I will say, you may not deliver eulogies for an individual in the shul. It is not considered to be an appropriate use for the shul. However, aval korin b'hen vishonin b'hen, but you may go ahead and learn in the shul. Korin b'hen vishonin b'hen. And what can the Rebbe say? You can deliver a eulogy that is a public eulogy. The Rebbe said, Rashi points out over here, Hesped shal rabim, shal tamid chacham, shemes, shetzichin lis asef u laspidu beis haknesses roi lekach, lefishu bayis gol. The Rebbe said, whose levaya can you hold in a beis haknesses? A tamid chacham. So a tamid chacham, his levaya can be held in a beis haknesses. Why? Because again, first of all, there's going to be a lot of people there. The shul is able to accommodate it. And also because that is a bakavadik use of the shul to use it for the levaya of a Torah scholar. So the Gemara says the following.
What's the kedusha of learning?
I'm sorry?
What's the kedusha of Korin?
Because the idea over there is, remember, in the Gemara's model, you're making a chilik between a Beis HaKnesses and a Beis HaMedrash. A Beis HaKnesses is a makum tefillah. So I might have thought that dafka, its use is for tefillah. Kamash mal no, it could be used for Talmud Torah as well. Am Rabbi Yehuda, Eimasai, BeYeshuvan. When was all of this true? When the shul is being used? But I will say, when the shul ultimately is in a state of disrepair, meaning when it's been abandoned, again, remember, churbana literally means destroyed, but destroyed, lav dafkas, mean actively destroyed, means it's not being used anymore. You let the grass grow there. So Gemara says, asavin man dekar shmaihu. Why are you bringing up the discussion of grass in the middle of the discussion of the usage of the shul? You're right, there was a piece missing, and here's how you have to read it. We'll say the previous brisa is supposed to continue. And how is it supposed to read? You're supposed to, we'll say, mechabdin means sweep, marbitzin means sprinkle with water. Remember, they had dirt floors. So how do you take care of a dirt floor? You sprinkle it with water to make sure that the dirt remains down. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, when do you have to sweep it and sprinkle it? Be yeshuvan. That's only when the shul is being used. When it's in a state of use. Avah b'churbanon. But if it fell into a state of disuse, manichin osa la'alos pe'mesavim. Of course, you don't have to sweep it. You don't have to sprinkle it. And you even let grass grow there. Why? Mipnei agmas nefesh. Amar Rabbi Asi, batei kinesios shebe bavel, al tenai heinasun. Also, it's very interesting. Rabbi Asi said that the shuls in Bavel are made with a tanai. I will say, what's the tanai? That should they fall into disuse, that the area could be used even for unsanctified use. That's the tenai with which they build shuls in Bava. I'll just give you a good one. I mean, you'll look at that Tosas of Bate Kinesios. It's actually very interesting. We're not going to do it now. But again, they're made with a tenai. The Afa Pike, and the Gemara says, and even though they're made with a tenai, ain't no again by Makalas Rosh. Rabbi say, even though again the shuls in Bavel are made with a tenai, and that tenai says that once they are no longer used, you can use it for any purpose. We still don't use it for any type of disrespectful purpose, even once it's fallen to disuse. So what's an example of Kalas Rosh? My nihu cheshbonos. I'll say cheshbonos means like you can't sit down and do your taxes in the shul, right? The idea is you can't sit down and figure out calculations. So the idea is that even though again the shuls in Bavel are made with a tenai, that once they're no longer used for services, you can use them for whatever you want. We still don't use them for whatever we want. Amravasi, Beisach Neses Shemachashvin, Bo Chashbonos. If you have a shul in which people are doing calculations, meaning I will say, if you have a shul that is used for mundane purposes, Malin and Boas Hames. Ultimately, it will, right. You will house dead bodies there overnight. We'll say Malin and Sagadaitcha Lo Sagid Lavachi. What are you talking about? What do you mean this housing dead bodies overnight? Ella L'Sof Shialinu B'Meis Mitzvah. But rather, again, a shul ultimately again that is disrespected, whose sanctity is eroded because people are doing inappropriate things. Ultimately, there'll be a Meis Mitzvah in there. We'll say, in other words, what the Gemara is saying is the presence of a corpse within a shul represents again an erosion of the kedusha of the shul. The idea the Gemara is saying is if you don't uphold the sanctity of your shul, other events will happen that will cause the sanctity to be eroded as well. The ein osin b'han, you can't adorn yourself in the shul. You can't get dressed in the shul. Amarava chachamim v'tamideyem mutarin. I will say interestingly enough, tamidi chachamim are permitted to go ahead and adorn themselves in the shul. Don't remember Shulman Levi. My Bei Rabbanon. Why is the shul called the house Bei Rabbanon? Beisad Rabbanon. Because literally it is the house of the rabbis. Now, as Rabbos say, that to a certain degree, the shul becomes the home of the Tamidi Chachamim. So again, it's obviously you're not changing out of your clothes or anything, but you know, if you need to do your tie, you need to fix yourself up, Tamidi Chachamim are permitted to do that within the confines of the shul itself. So remember, you can't enter into the shul just for shelter purposes, either because of the sun or because of the rain. Because there was a story, Ravina Ravada Ramasna, Havukaimi Vishali Sheilta Me Rava. They were asking a halachic question of Rava. Asa Zilcha Dimitra, it began to pour. Ayli Lebek Nishta, and they went into the shul. Amri, but they said before they went into the shul, they said, Amri, Haida Ailina Lebek Nishta, Lav Mishum Mitra. We're not going into the shul because of the rain. Why are we going in? Ella Mishum Dishmaita Bait Silusa Kiyoma Di Istanta. The istana, excuse me. Rather, we're going in why? Because to learn halacha requires clarity of mind, like a day with a north wind. Otherwise, what they were saying is, we're not going to shield ourselves from the rain. We're going in why? Because we're learning. And learning requires what? Learning requires concentration. You can't have concentration in the middle of a downpour. That's why we're going in. Meaning what they justified, they're going into the shul not as an act of seeking shelter, but rather as a way of continuing their learning. So now we've established is you can't just stand walk into a shul for a mundane purpose. So let's say I have to get someone out of shul. Right? Let's say again, someone's in shul. I need to grab their attention. I need to get them out of shul. So what do I do? So I must say, apparently, the Gemara is saying just to walk in their stam you can't do because that would be a mundane use of a shul. So what can you do? So if he's a Talmid Chacham, go into shul and what? Learn a halacha. V'itana, even if you're not a Talmid Chacham, but you know how to learn Mishnah. Or if you're a Tana, Leim Asisin, say Mishnah. Vikra, and if you know Chumash, Leim Apsuka, say a Pasuk of Chumash. V'ilo, and if you don't know how to learn, Leim Aleli Yenuka, Eim Aleli Psukeich, say to a child who's there, tell me what you learned in yeshiva today. Inami, or the other possibility is, Nishay Porta Venekum. Stay for a little while in shul, and then get up. We'll say, so this is halacha lemaisa. We don't just walk into a shul, stam, walk in and walk out, but rather, again, even if a person, let's say, needs something in the shul, so the general practice is what? Either a person says a pasuk, or a person just sits down for a moment, therefore, again, giving cover to the shul that I'm not just walking through it.
But the sanctuary, or
no, just as this is the sanctuary. the sanctuary. It doesn't apply to the social or the secondary rooms. So the Gemara says, that's why, again, so that's actually a very good point. So, for example, this idea of taking shelter also only applies to the sanctuary. So, for example, if a shul has a lobby, right, you could take cover, refuge. Right? It sounds very dramatic, right? Right? You could take cover in the lobby. The idea over here is you can't use the sanctuary for mundane purposes. The Gemara goes, right, must be the Hesed Shel Rabbi. You could deliver a eulogy, a public eulogy, within the shul. We'll say, what is an example of a public eulogy? So, machvei Rav Chista, Rav Chista motion, kegon hespeda tekoi be Rav Sheshes. So, Rav Chista said, any levaya that Rav Sheshes would attend, that's considered to be like a hesped of the rabbim. Because first of all, again, it would be that Rav Sheshes wouldn't just go to any levaya. If it's important for Rav Sheshes to go, that must have been an important person. Also, wherever Rav Sheshes goes, then what? There's an entourage. There's an entourage that follows him as well. On the other hand, machvi Rav Sheshes motion, kegon hespeda tekoi be Rav Chista. Any levaya that Rav Chista would go to. So they're arguing essentially, you know, who has greater levaya popularity. Right? So, right? Any levaya that you would go to, any levaya that you would go to. Okay, the idea is that it's levaya which a lot of people would attend. Rafram Aspada Lekalse Bevek Nishta. We'll say, Nemach, the daughter-in-law of Rafram passed away, and he eulogized her in the shul. Amar, he held a levaya in the shul. Why? Amar, Mushum Yikar Didi Udemisa Asekule. Rafram said, because apparently his daughter-in-law was a very popular woman because of her and also because of me. Because it's my mishpacha, a lot of people are going to come. Therefore, because it's Hesped the Rabbim, it can be held in the shul. So the Gemara says, Asekule Amar, Abzera Sapte Lahomira Balam Beknishta. Rabbi Zera eulogized a certain individual within the shul. Amar Imishum Yikra Didi. And again, Rav Zera said, either because people come because I'm participating in this levaya, or because between the people coming for me and the people coming for the deceased, there'll be a lot of people, and therefore, again, the levaya can be held in the shul. Reish Lakish Sapte Lahut Surba Me Rabbanon. The Shliach Ba'ar de Yisrael. We'll say Reish Lakish eulogized a certain Talmud Chacham who lived in Bavel, but he used to come to Eretz Yisrael very often. And he said about him, Dahavitani Hilchasa Bechav Dalid Shurta. He used to teach 24 rows of students. He was an acclaimed mechanech. Amar Vaychaseira Ar de Yisrael Gavar Rabba. Woe to Eretz Yisrael that they have lost a great man. Gavar Rabba. Hahu Dahavitani Hilchos. So I will say that's one story. So that is the Reish Lakish story. Another story. Hahu Dahavitani Hilchos Sifra Visifri Vito Sefta. There was another Talmud Chacham who learned a lot. He knew Halacha Sifra Sifri Tosefta Veshachem. Bless you. And he died. Asu v'amr leder Rav Nachman. They came and told Rav Nachman that the Talmud Chacham died. Lispa deimar. They said to Rav Nachman, will you eulogize him? Rav Nachman said, Amr Hechi Nispa Dei. What should I say? Hot Sana Demali Sifri Dechaser. Woe that the basket of Svarim is lost. Now, we'll say again. So he called the guy a basket of Svarim. Now, we'll say, now Rashi points out over here that apparently Rav Nachman was not very fond of this individual. Why? Because he learned a lot of knowledge, but he never was Meshamesh. He never attended to, he never learned other under a Rebbe. And we'll say, the problem is that a person could acquire a lot of knowledge. It doesn't make them smart, and it doesn't necessarily tell them what to do. A person needs a Rebbe, because the Rebbe ultimately instructs us what to do in life, how to apply that knowledge. So Nachman said, okay, he was a basket full of Svarim. He had a lot of information, but lav davka that he knew exactly what to do with that information. So the Gemara says, well, so this will end. Tachazi ma bein tekifi de'ar di Yisrael lechasidei de'bavel. See the difference between the arrogant ones of Eretz Yisrael and the pious ones of Bavel. And I will say, the arrogant ones of Eretz Yisrael is actually a reference to Reish Lakish. I will say, again, because Reish Lakish was careful. Interestingly, he called him an arrogant when he wasn't really arrogant. But Reish Lakish was careful not just to talk to anyone. Why? Because Reish Lakish felt that if people saw him talking to an individual, people would assume that what? That the individual to whom he was talking to must be an upstanding individual. And we'll say, now what would be the chapa? That you say, what's wrong with that? That they might lend such an individual like that money without witnesses. So Reish Lakish was always very careful who he spoke to in public. So it gave the impression that he was arrogant, but he wasn't arrogant. He didn't want to mislead the general public about the standing of certain individuals with whom he would converse. On the other hand, Rav Nachman was known ultimately again as an exceptionally humble individual. So we'll say what the Gemara is saying over here. You know, people think that the Rabbanim of Eretz Yisrael are so arrogant and the ones of Bavel are so kind. But look, see that the Rabbanim of Eretz Yisrael are so much greater. Because look how Reish Lakish was able to eulogize the Talmud Chacham, whereas Rav Nachman was unable to go ahead and say something nice about this Talmud Chacham who had died. All right, we'll stop over here. Amir Tzah Hashem. So tomorrow again, Yaakov Moshe, Amir Tzah Hashem will be taking over. Pick up right from here.